Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
President Biden should be speaking during the show over at Girard College. We'll try to bring you either some sound of that or at least some breakdown of it. But, you know, these are poor kids going to a boarding school, giving them a good education. And Biden and Kamala Harris and any other big-time Democrat, they don't want to do that. And they want to tell you they do want to do it, that I'm making it up. Because they want to put more money into better public schools. You can give Philadelphia $10 billion right now. And it might make around the edge some rounding number of a difference. But it's not going to change. And that's from somebody who's been in the trenches, taught in the Philadelphia public schools, taught in Camden, taught in Darby Township, among others. And I know what happens there. Yeah, money is not something that is unhelpful, but it's not going to get it. What's going to get it is choice in schools that have to remain in business because parents want to send their kids there. They're in opposition to that, and they always will be, because that's the secret sauce that would unleash a lot of things. So I mentioned the contrast with what Biden is going to say today at Girard College and what Trump did in the South Bronx. And look, Trump's got to be distracted by the trial and everything else. But if he could just get to that template, what he did in the South Bronx, the things that he talked about as far as opportunity, jobs, the American dream in his own way, which is distinct. Not the grievance, not 2020, not any of that stuff. That was a magical moment. That was one of the best moments of Trump that I've seen. And producing that again and again and again, it's clear. If the polling is off by a point or two, who knows? It's clear, though, he has struck fear in them. That's why they're coming here today to relaunch, in their words, this African-Americans for Biden, Harris, and the like. Okay? How has he broken through? Well, it's a persona that's different, a different sort of Republican, the points of emphasis, and they're scared to death of this. Because if they can't get 92-93%, something like that, or more, of African-American voters, and even more importantly, turning out African-American voters, it's not just the percentage, it's the number of people that ultimately even show up and vote. They're in big trouble in places like Pennsylvania. We told you, leading off the show today, and we're trying to get Scott Presler on, that Bucks County is closer to being red in registration. Democrats were ahead some time ago, not too long ago, by about 9,000 registration. Now, just in the last week, that's gone down 200 more, and it's only 1,222 away from being declared red. And you got to understand the symbolism of that, of what that says to people about what's happening. And it's kind of viral how that moves forward. So I expect today we're going to hear the same scare tactics, the same failed tactics that Biden always uses. He's one of the worst in history. Trump just has to do what he did in the South Bronx. And here's a case in point. Do I think Joe Biden is evil? You know, using language like this. This is ridiculous. I think he's stupid, and I'm not saying that just to be. I really do. I think this guy has gotten farther with less intelligence than almost anybody we've seen in big time politics. I think he is not a civil, kind person and all that nonsense. I think he's selfish beyond belief with the Bo Biden stuff and wanting to be a great president by just spending wildly. But Dr. Jill Biden, she tells us on The View, it's going to be down to two. Americans are going to pay attention. And they're going to make a clear choice. They're going to choose good. I want to know who's good here, Dr. Jill. Is it you? Is it your husband is good? And they're going to choose good over evil. Here's Dr. Jill.
Dr. Biden, I've raised alarm bells among other Republicans about the danger of a second Donald Trump term, and I'm genuinely fearful for what that could look like. But consistently, we're seeing poll after poll that are showing Trump beating your husband outside of the margin of error, when in fact, last time in 2020, Joe Biden was beating him in nearly every poll. How do you turn those numbers around with 5 months out, and are you fearful of what a second Trump term could look like?
Or a third, as Donald Trump says.
Hold up with that for a minute, Dan. That is supposed to be the counter voice on The View. That's the alleged Republican there asking that. My God. You know, just for their own, call me crazy, but I think I know how this should go to get more people to watch you or listen to you. There ought to be somebody on there that pushes back on these things versus somebody who is a dedicated Trump hater, and that's why she's on there. That's the alleged Republican on The View. How in the world...
Isn't Anna Navarro an alleged Republican, too?
Yeah, that's right. Republican strategist Anna Navarro. These are the Republicans they put up there. One of the reasons is they crumple. When Condoleezza Rice was on, they just crumpled, not even like cheap suits, like bad plastic surgery and Joy Behar. That's what it was like with Condoleezza Rice.
Well, I think there's worse examples of bad plastic surgery than Joy Behar.
Oh, who you referring to?
Well, I mean, has she had much plastic surgery, Joy?
I thought I'd throw in a shot there. Yes. All right. Let's hear a little bit more now, the response of the esteemed doctor.
We are going to meet people where they are. We're going to go to college campuses. We're going to go to just every state that we can get into. I've been traveling every single day. Joe has been traveling as much as possible. And we're not going to take anything for granted. And those polls are going to turn. I'm confident of it. Because as time goes on and as people start to focus a little bit more about what's at stake and start to become educated on the issues and the differences between the two men, I believe that Americans are going to choose good over evil.
Yes.
All right. And we're supposed to just say they're dealing the good versus evil. We're supposed to just say, hey, you guys are out of order here with all this stuff that you're doing. You know what? They want a street fight on this. Good. Bring it on. Let's see if you want to do this good versus evil, why do we need all these rules in the debate? Can't good win there? Can't we say, oh, no, Trump will overtalk him. Trump won't shut up and all that. We need the guardrails. And yet this man is going to come with a bunch of poor black kids today to Girard College, and he's going to rail about how America is still racist. That's exactly what he's going to do. That's what he did at Morehouse, a super private school to African-American students. That's what he always does. And Trump and Republicans are the ones that are keeping you down. They're going to put you back in chains. And we're evil. How did Trump draw those people in South Bronx if he's evil?
They're going to put you all back in chains.
So columnist today, Armon White at National Review, an ingenious Prince deep cut predicted the South Bronx speech. Can we take 6 minutes to talk about success? That question asked by President Trump during last week's historic South Bronx rally struck an apolitical nerve, but it revived an important cultural memory. And then the guy talks about this Prince song and how Democrats historically have taken the black and Latino vote for granted. We know that. We say it every election. Why is Trump the one breaking through? I mean, Republicans have said all kinds of things before, school choice, zones, enterprise zones. And these are things that are good. They have talked about being taken for granted and what Democrats do. So why in the world can't you connect? Because to break through the inertia, what's been there for years, back to Lyndon Johnson, etc., it needs something fresh. And Trump is a one-of-a-kind, bold success. And that style has broken through in his own way, and it scares him. Because, again, if he can get 20% of African-American voters, that is going to be a tremendous, tremendous breakthrough. All righty. Is that the song, Dan, or what's it? Yeah.
That's what you need. A man that will feel your every wish. Your
So I don't know why Trump was so much on Prince's radar screen, Dan, that he dedicated that song.
1990. And, but Prince wrote it and produced it at the time. Right. A very offshoot kind of irrelevant R&B band is the one that recorded this.
That's what it is. Yeah. This guy's on to something at National Review. Mitt Romney can't go. Mitt Romney in the South Bronx. Oh, my God. You know, he couldn't go to a Wawa. He kept on calling it Wawa's. You can't send somebody like that there. How is Trump able to do that? Well, that's the secret sauce. That's the persona. That's what they're afraid of. Now, why is that so revolting to these suburban mamas, though, is another story. But that's why Biden's here today. That's why we have the relaunch. That's why Kamala Harris, this is rare for the two of them to be coming together in this manner. And I'm just sad that Gerard College becomes, yeah, Dave, Dan, you know Dave Hardy. I really love the guy, what he's done. We'll try to get him on tomorrow after this. Hard to turn down a visit by the president of the United States for a school, I'm sure he'll say, to put them on the map. But I think they're being used today, predictably, by what Biden does. So for as long as I've been doing talk radio, people would call in, why do people vote this way? They're taken for granted. These Democrat politicians, you look around, nothing has changed. Why does this guy break through? Well, that's the elements of Trump that make him frightening to the other side. And I think the polling is essentially correct. Who knows if it's exactly on point? And if that holds, we're going to win Pennsylvania. We're going to win the presidency. So what are they going to counter with? What are they going to tell African Americans? They're going back to the Central Park Five and stuff like that. That's how far back. That's what they have to go to try to dislodge this. But what happened in the South Bronx? All Trump has to do is do more of that versus the grievance stuff. And things will be fine. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All we need you to do is push pound 1210. Don't forget the side question. Simple one today. Julia Childs. We played you this national, the French dish. I'm not going to pronounce it.
What is it, dog? Come on.
Coq au vin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Coq au vin.
You can't beat her. Somebody lovable. George Bailey was a good one. Real or fictional. Somebody lovable that people just can't get enough. And it almost has to be universal that you don't have hatred at the same time. Some people love, some people
can I take
hate.
One off the board?
Yeah, go right ahead.
How about a Forrest Gump?
Yes,
is
Forrest Gump.
That dislikes Forrest Gump?
Oh, those people sitting on the park bench, right? Breaking down in tears when the guy, there'll be another bus coming. They let him tell more of the story. That's all I have to say about that. Oh, my God. Whoever wrote those lines, yeah.
That's a great impression there, Dom.
Yeah, that line gets me. Hey, the jury deliberation Fox has up now. It's an hour, 45 minutes, and 16 seconds. I've seen people predict this could take weeks. I don't think so. I think the pressure will be to get this done by the weekend. Coming up, though, Dan, I did a national show last night, and I had an attorney on. I think I stunned him when I brought up the Allen charge. I was pretty proud of this. This guy's a big-time trial attorney, what he said to me about it. And I don't think he was ripping me. I thought he was being serious. I've had mixed reaction to the legal, you know, the moot court thing. Some of these people sniff when I say that. I'm a big-time attorney, and this guy in Philadelphia is telling me about moot court.
Well, you have a ton of experience on air arguing with people, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That should count for something.
Yeah, it sure does in a court of public opinion.
You know, and it should give you some kind of passage of the bar exam and certificate.
You know what? That's right. Get Linda Kearns working on that. All right. 855-839-1210. You jump in now. Hit us with that. Martina White, one of our favorites, at 1:30 with a lot of stuff. And we'll talk with Lee Zeldin. Remember, he did very well against Kathy Hochul running for governor. He was attacked, guy with a knife in the cornfield there. He wants to counter what we're hearing here from Biden. We have a bunch of anti-Trump tweets.
Yeah,
a lot to respond to.
Yeah, a lot of things to answer to from this Femin individual on Twitter.
Who
on
is
X.
it, Dan?
F-E-M-I-N. P.S. You are wrong. Sent a flurry of tweets responding to your last call with the last listener.
Oh, with Bob. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's all straight ahead on Talk Radio 1210.
I notice you no longer say formerly known as Twitter. We've graduated to full X.
Oh, my God, that guy. Is there anything just more bizarre than Phil Murphy sitting there with the hair? I would just be fixated on the hair and have to say, oh, I wish I had a head of hair like that. How much did that cost? Well, Miss Kim charges about $20. All right, so...
That's cheap, man.
We got somebody going wild on Twitter. Yeah. We need some responses to these things. They don't like the Trump secret sauce.
Yeah.
And you got to say, there is a secret sauce out there. How is it... Not with white voters. How do you explain Biden and Harris have to come to Philadelphia today to relaunch? The vote is so tepid. Trump is doing so well with African-American Latino voters. Why is that versus other Republicans? Because for years, people have been saying you're taken for granted. Then the same thing happens. You have people voting for Democrats up and down the line, or sometimes not voting, but they never vote for Republicans. Dan, Mitt Romney in some wards.
Mm-hmm.
In Philadelphia, we could Google how many, against Obama in 2012, had zero people voting for him. Now, it's possible, but it's almost a statistical, it's a miracle. You know, these are fairly big voting blocks to have a zero, not just in one spot, but in a number of them. And, you know, everybody says Mitt Romney is a stand-up guy, he's a nice guy and all this. Trump is going to do in the same wards astronomically better. Why? All right, read me some of these critical tweets.
Well, first off, secret sauce, man. You love Trump's secret sauce, which is just old-fashioned chauvinism.
All right, so why would chauvinists? She must be attacking women. I guess she's attacking black men. She's saying black men are chauvinist. They like that Trump is a chauvinist, and that's what the appeal is, right? That's what I take from that.
Yeah, apparently. How about I just listened to your propaganda? Should be ashamed of yourself spewing lies to your listeners. What's wrong with you, Dom?
I plead insanity. I've been here filling up for too long. Yes.
How many other disgusting non-disclosure agreements are there? What else did Trump do? Americans demand answers.
He could have 100. Let's break that down too. Let's throw evangelicals into it. They've already made their decision on this. Not saying Trump is a good moral character. They like his policies. They like what he'll do for the country. He could have 100 non-disclosure. In fact, Dan, I think most people that worked around him signed non-disclosures. It's a tool that a lot of people use. It's not illegal. There's nothing wrong with it. So what's the point of the non-disclosure with Stormy Daniels or anybody else?
Speak to this one, because a lot of people in South Jersey, especially right. Someone I'm very close with, who I had a very passionate argument with over this, still holds this very valuable, and they think Trump is purely evil and would vote for Biden because of this. Who does Trump blame for bankrupting the Atlantic City casinos? Who does he blame for not paying anyone? And a lot of people think he's purely evil just based on his stance on Atlantic City and all still.
All right, so what's the beef here that he didn't...
That he didn't pay off contractors, and he treats people like crap, and he's just not a good human, and he doesn't belong to lead the country because
there
of that.
Is some evidence of that. I'd have to concede some small contractors and all that. And again, people look at this. They look at the totality of this. They're not endorsing Trump in that manner. Is there anybody worse than the Bidens for cheesiness, making the Secret Service, taking their underwear on their tax things, that they lower their taxes? I can't defend that. What was your defense?
My defense was, and I can't defend it either. He did treat people like crap in right. Atlantic City. But the thing is, what he did in treating people like crap is he furthered his own organization, his corporation. I think that's terrible in the grand scheme of things. But when it comes to leading a country and you have a guy sitting in office who treats foreign affairs like, I want to be buddy-buddy with everybody, and even Hamas I'm trying to, appeal right. to, I'd rather have a guy treat Hamas like crap. You know, I'd rather have someone treat what's going on in Ukraine, right. Russia a little bit differently, or North Korean dictator the way he treated contractors in Atlantic City. Right. That's what I want from a leader. Right. I want somebody who's going right. to work for America first, the way that Trump worked for his corporation first. And I'm sorry if, that's a
I would
bad
rather,
thing to say.
But... I would rather have somebody who treated those people well, but is ruthless in dealing with our enemies.
100%.
But the Bidens have no... This is the thing that bothers me the most. You and I just didn't do the hack route. We said, no, there's no defense of parts of this with Trump. There's not. You're crazy if you want to defend that. I'm not going to. But how does Biden have this record of this decent man when he uses his son shamelessly? The showers with the daughter. The son, whose trial starts next week. How do the Bidens... And do you hear Dr. Jill Biden, just the articulation, Dan? Does that sound like someone nuanced and educated? No, it does not. It sounds like she belongs on The View. So I'm not defending that. We've been through this a number of times with any of the flaws of Trump. It's the policies. It's the things that have moved America and the evidence that's already there about what he did. Particularly when you look at the other side and you see all the baggage there, too, including the dementia and the inability to carry any kind of articulation or thought. All right. Thank you. Glad Phil Murphy. Keep that. Phil Murphy telling us. Glad to see you're calling it X now.
I notice you no longer say formerly known as Twitter. We've graduated to full X.
I got to watch that show with the governor more. Maybe call in. Hey, it's Dom from South Jersey.
Trying so hard to be relatable.
I want to know about the hair. 855-839-1210. You get on board. Hit us with somebody lovable. Somebody said Mother Teresa on Twitter because Trump said Mother Teresa couldn't beat these charges today. I don't think people saw Mother Teresa, Dan, as lovable. She was under attack a lot. I just think she's one of the greatest people that has ever lived, but I wouldn't say she's lovable. I don't think you want to get on the wrong side of Mother Teresa from what we can tell. She was going to make things happen. It wasn't a warm and fuzzy, you know what I mean? But if you are bathing lepers, I don't have too much to argue with you about. Right. I don't think too many people are going to do that. And when your first name is Mother Teresa, that's pretty good. 855-839-1210. Let's go to Chris in Philly on Talk Radio 1210. Afternoon, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? I'm going to go a little outside the box, and this is probably going to go over like a bunch of people's heads. But I want to say Ashley Eckstein. She's the voice actor of Ahsoka in Star Wars The Clone Wars, the animated series. But I've met her a few times at Comic Cons, and every time I've met her, she takes all the time in the world just to talk to you. And she donates to so many charities and everything.
That's a great answer.
That's a great answer. And, you know, let me make this point on that, Chris. That is a really good answer when you take the time with people. The Kelseys were in this tiff, Dan, that's gone public here. I don't know if you saw it in Seattle, where this person just wanted to take a picture with them and kept on insisting.
Yeah.
Two thoughts about that. You got to let people alone to enjoy themselves a bit. But I don't know why you wouldn't take the picture, too. I don't know how obnoxious they were. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And this is like someone that's kind of on their own time. They're not at a convention like Ashley is. Like, you got to kind of lay off a little bit.
But I would say the thing that endears celebrity is when they take time, to your point, Chris, and that's why I think this is a great one, and they actually, you know, go for it, particularly if they're a major celebrity and they do it. It's endearing. It really is.
Who's the person that you think of that you're talking about?
That does that?
William Shatner.
Oh, God,
Shatner,
yes.
Bar none.
Shatner. You know, I think Trump, from what I can tell, Dan, does a good bit of this.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very human side.
Great answer, Chris.
Chris, that's a great answer. Thank you.
Rock and roll, guys.
I love Chris. I think Chris is one of the regular YouTubers, so thanks for ringing in.
Oh, thank you for ringing in.
Yeah, YouTube.com/F12NWPHD. Please go like and subscribe.
But with the Kelsey thing, now this woman, Dan, wanted the picture, right? You're not welcome in Seattle anymore. Don't try to come back to this town. This is public harassment now. You know, I think Jason Kelsey has been more than generous with the amount of time and the stuff he does for various charities, et cetera. I would say take the picture, though. You know, I don't know if there was just an obnoxiousness with it, and move on if you can. You know, if you're not just really late or something like that. So when people do that, though, that are very public figures, Shatner's a good one, it is incredibly endearing. It doesn't take a lot to do it, too, many times. All right, 855-839-1210. I haven't talked to State Representative Martina White. She's up next. I want to ask her about the president's visit, but first, her bill that would actually push back against these people that really are out of control on college campuses, the encampments and the like. We'll talk with her. All right, there's a reason you're playing that song, Dan. Dom Giordano's show. Why would that be?
Yeah, YouGov.com actually tracks the most popular musicians, contemporary actors, actresses, based by generation. And if you sort by popularity for baby boomers, above Dolly Parton, Dolly Parton leads the category in all three, millennials, Gen X, and baby boomers. Well, besides baby boomers, she's false number two, besides none other than the Supremes, who are genuinely loved more by the baby boomer generation.
I could see that. Well, we love having on State Representative Martina White, new bill, to try to do something, some kind of accountability for what's going on college campuses. But Martina has been second to none in school choice-related things, which might have a shot, Lifeline Scholarships, I think they're called. What a day to have her. We were going to talk with her about the other thing because not too far from where we are, President Biden, Girard College, is going to come here and talk about African Americans and opportunity and moving forward. How can you do that when you don't have choice? Let's go to State Representative Martina White. Martina, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dom. Thanks for having me. It's very interesting that you were just mentioning that the president is in town, and you're right. School choice is certainly can solve a lot of the problems facing all Philadelphians, but in particular, the black community here.
Yeah. And again, coming to, and you know this as a true Philadelphian, the history of Girard College and all that, and predictably, we think he's going to say what he said at Morehouse about discrimination and all those things. And yet he and the vice president have to be, maybe in their heart they are too, enemies of any kind of school choice because they're going to side with the teachers' unions over the parents. Martina, do you see in your conversations with Democrats in Harrisburg, we know people like Ayman Brown and some others are on board. Do these people really believe this is the wrong course of action? What Shapiro, I think, in his heart is on board with, it seems. Or is it the pressure is just so much from teachers' unions and progressives?
So I think that Biden is stuck in just the classical ways of radical Democrat leftists. You know, I think that they are more or less pandering, which is really a shame because in Philadelphia, like, there are a lot of families who actually need the help and support that can come from getting students a better quality education. It actually is one of the most beneficial ways to help reduce crime is to have a high quality educational resource available to you as a young person. So the Lifeline Scholarships that we've been advocating for and that the governor apparently is supportive of some form of a program like it, you know, that could give students a tremendous opportunity. They would get access to state dollars that they can take to any school of their choice that works best for their educational needs. So by doing that, we can literally change the lives of children all across Pennsylvania, but in particular in underserved populations here in Philadelphia. And for the president to just ignore that fact is despicable. And I think it just goes to show you that this isn't, you know, something that's new to us. This is something he's been doing, right? Like he's blocked 30,000 jobs from being created here in southeastern Pennsylvania by halting LNG export permits. So, you know, he doesn't care about Pennsylvania. Why he's coming here, I guess it's to see if he can drum up some support before November, but I don't think people are falling for it anymore. They want real action. They want real solutions, and the Democrat Party is not providing them at all.
Yeah, exactly. And again, the whatever that secret sauce with President Trump is, the South Bronx, this is a different sort of Republican persona. The upside, he's breaking through, particularly with African-American males, what you and others have been talking about for years, Democrat Party taking people for granted. we're seeing some breaking, and that's all that you need is a little bit of that. And Martina, the thing I like about the school choice thing, in addition to the kids, it empowers parental rights. These parents know better for their kid. I don't care if they're uneducated or whatever. They know their kid. They want the best for their kid more than any organization could be. It's the parent that wants that.
100%, Dom. School choice is what provides parents the ultimate opportunity for their child to go to the school of their choice that they know will benefit their child the best and give them the, you know, the best chance for reaching their full potential in life. And so that's why I'm a huge proponent of it. And I think that the Democrats' policy of leaving kids trapped in failing schools hasn't worked. It's still not working. And we need real change here in Pennsylvania. And I know we can do it. Especially because there's a lot of Democrats, like you shared, other state electeds. Senator Anthony Williams for years has been a supporter of school choice, highly passionate. Amen Brown, and obviously the governor here. So for the president to come in here and kind of talk poorly about that, that would be a very grave, I think, you know, thing for him to do.
Bingo, too. I was wondering why Josh Shapiro, look, he may have something important today. He's not going to be there. I think the lieutenant governor, and again, to be with the president in Philadelphia in a situation like this, I think he would be there. But what Biden's going to say and what Biden's about is a little much different than, at least on paper, what Josh Shapiro says.
Yeah, Dom, that's true. I mean, why would a governor who has positive name ID across the state want to affiliate himself with a president who has declining numbers? You know, that doesn't make any political sense in my personal opinion. But I think there's a lot of factors at play, and one of which is that the president hasn't addressed the issues of Philadelphia communities, including the African-American community, Hispanic community. Here in Northeast Philadelphia, there's a lot of Caucasian families. I mean, we're all suffering from what inevitably has been Biden's policies. And we've had a 30% increase in food prices. When you go to the gas pump to fuel up, everything's expensive. Energy costs are up. I mean, it's just like we're getting body slammed, and everyday people that are middle class families are trying to get by, and the people who are already in poverty, I mean, imagine what those families are going through
exactly.
In the city.
Now, on the other hand, and I saw a study the other day about many of these encampments and stuff going on, and this was from a liberal publication that said a great deal of them are people on these college campuses that are more elite. But what are you trying to do to bring some accountability to the stuff that's been going on?
Yeah, so, you know, we know that the Democrat radicals of the left are putting criminals first and victims last. They've done this. We've seen this over the past several years, and they're doing it again, right? There's these anti-Israel protesters on college campuses, and what the legislators, myself and Kristen Marcel out of Bucks County area, have put forward are two pieces of legislation. What we saw on these campuses were just maddening. They went and are basically verbally attacking Jewish students. And I think that there's even been concerns around them attacking law enforcement officers when they were trying to be disbanded. So, you know, what we're trying to do is make sure that any students who are convicted of ethnic intimidation, institutional vandalism, desecration, theft, sale of venerated objects, or institutional trespassing from being able to receive FEA grants. So that's what my bill would do. And then Kristen Marcel's bill, it basically is a complementary piece to mine. It creates a new crime of actual institutional trespass, specifically targeting unlawful entry into sensitive areas like houses of worship, cemeteries, and schools. And I know vandalism is already penalized, but this definitely is a bill that will be helpful because merely trespassing in these sacred institutions isn't something that should go unnoticed, and it needs to have additional protections in place.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully there are a few Democrats in the Senate. I think something like that would pass. How about in the House?
Yeah, you know, apparently a lot of reporters have been asking their leadership team, I think Matt Bradford was one of them, if they would consider these pieces of legislation. It sounded like once the language has been introduced that he may be willing to consider it. But I actually don't know how many of their legislative how many of their legislators on their side of the aisle would actually support it. I mean, we saw Rep. Krajewski actually, according to, I guess it was the Washington Examiner, he was one of the people who warned the protesters that the police would be coming onto the campus within the next 24 hours. And there's supposedly text messages to that effect. So I imagine that there are, will be, you know, the radical left Democrats out in Harrisburg who will, you know, just probably vote against these types of bills.
Well, at least we have you on the front lines. And Martina, I think it sounds to me, though, like Lifeline Scholarships is going to make it through this time. And I think you deserve a lot of credit on that. It would be revolutionary. It would be arguably the greatest good that legislators can do toward families and their kids.
Thank you so much, Dom. Yeah, we are so excited this year. We had a lot of progress last year, but I think this could be our time, and we just have to keep advocating and keep pushing and encourage constituents out there, citizens, you know, give your legislators a call and encourage them to be supportive, because now is the time. June is when all of the negotiations take place before the budget's due on June 30th, and I just want to encourage you guys. We could really use all of the support to call up your legislator.
Thank you, Martina. We'll keep on this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
All right, Dan, coming up, one of my greatest sources, a cop source, but it's way beyond just cop issues. Wait until you hear who just sent out a directive to have people oppose Lifeline Scholarships, vouchers in any form. Yep, it's an old suspect. It's got some letters. It begins with an A. There's a C in there. It ends in an O. That's all I'm going to say here. Wheel of Fortune, you spin it home.
It's really tough. I'm trying to figure it out.
I'll tell you who it is. Think the Union Way. That's straight ahead.
In the butt?
Yeah. Phone lines.
That was earlier this week.
855. That's right. The bite in the butt. Pat Sajak's having a rough. I think he's only got a couple weeks left of this. 855-839-1210. You get in. Dom time. So President Biden's late. What else is usual? A fair-sized crowd apparently over at Girard College, and a birdie flew into my window and sent me this. And again, as I understand the AFL-CIO, there are a lot of union people work that want their kids to get a good education. Maybe the Catholic schools. They just sent out a directive attacking vouchers. The AFL-CIO, the unions again. You're the most powerful person to convince your representatives to oppose school vouchers. Vouchers would just make the severe underfunding of Pennsylvania public schools even worse. So your kid has to be held hostage because you're a parent that wants better for them to send them somewhere else. You had to be kept with those who apparently don't know what they're doing or don't care, and they're willing to let their kids rot in these public schools. So you're not going to be allowed to go. And if you're a union member, how many times are these unions? I'm sick and tired of people telling me, well, we don't think that way. It's the leadership. Yeah, it's somebody's voting for them. Who's voting for these people? You have the guy of the UAW, who a big quack of his union now are these various college administrators and the like. And they've gone completely radical. Well, as long as we get where we are, we don't care about the country. How is it that unions are telling people, the AFL-CIO, the biggie, the biggest, right? You got to be out there screaming against vouchers. You got to be against poor kids, black kids, Latino kids, Catholic schools. You got to be against all that because the public schools will fail if this goes through. You mean to say the public schools in the big cities have already not been incredibly miserable failures? Some of it is due to the politics of the big cities, the restraints, the progressives, the stuff they put into it. It will fail. It will fail again, and it will continue to fail. How many times have we seen it play out that way? So if you support public schools, you think this is great for democracy and all that nonsense, go right ahead. Why hold these other people captive? particularly when you have a flourishing Catholic school system and a lot of private schools of all kinds of sorts that people need just a little bit of help to get to go there. So, Dan, you invite David Hardy on tomorrow. I mean, I think what he'll say, he's the head now of Girard College. Well, we invited, you got to let the president come here and talk. I hear you. Puts him on the map again. All right, there's a reason you're playing that song, Dan. Dom Giordano's show. Why would that be?
Yeah, YouGov.com actually tracks the most popular musicians, contemporary actors, actresses based by generation. And if you sort by popularity for baby boomers above Dolly Parton, Dolly Parton leads the category in all three, millennials, Gen X, and baby boomers. Well, besides baby boomers, she's false at number two, besides none other than the Supremes, who are genuinely loved more by the baby boomer generation.
I could see that. Well, we love having on State Representative Martina White, new bill, to try to do something, some kind of accountability for what's going on college campuses. But Martina has been second to none in school choice-related things, which might have a shot, Lifeline Scholarships, I think they're called. What a day to have her. We were going to talk with her about the other thing because not too far from where we are, President Biden, Girard College, is going to come here and talk about African Americans and opportunity and moving forward. How can you do that when you don't have choice? Let's go to State Representative Martina White. Martina, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dom. Thanks for having me. It's very interesting that you were just mentioning that the president is in town, and you're right. School choice is certainly can solve a lot of the problems facing all Philadelphians, but in particular, the black community here.
Yeah. And again, coming to, and you know this as a true Philadelphian, the history of Girard College and all that, and predictably, we think he's going to say what he said at Morehouse about discrimination and all those things. And yet he and the vice president have to be, maybe in their heart they are too, enemies of any kind of school choice because they're going to side with the teachers' unions over the parents. Martina, do you see in your conversations with Democrats in Harrisburg, we know people like Ayman Brown and some others are on board. Do these people really believe this is the wrong course of action, what Shapiro, I think, in his heart is on board with, it seems? Or is it the pressure is just so much from teachers' unions and progressives?
So I think that Biden is stuck in just the classical ways of radical Democrat leftists, you know? Mm-hmm. They, I think that they are more or less pandering, which is really a shame because in Philadelphia, like, there are a lot of families who actually need the help and support that can come from getting students a better quality education. It actually is one of the most beneficial ways to help reduce crime is to have a high quality educational resource available to you as a young person. So the Lifeline scholarships that we've been advocating for and that the governor apparently is supportive of some form of program like it, you know, that could give students a tremendous opportunity. They would get access to state dollars that they can take to any school of their choice that works best for their educational needs. So by doing that, we can literally change the lives of children all across Pennsylvania, but in particular in underserved populations here in Philadelphia. And for the president to just ignore that fact is despicable. And I think it just goes to show you that this isn't, you know, something that's new to us. This is something he's been doing, right? Like he's blocked 30,000 jobs from being created here in southeastern Pennsylvania by halting LNG export permits. So, you know, he doesn't care about Pennsylvania. Why he's coming here, I guess it's to see if he can drum up some support before November, but I don't think people are falling for it anymore. They want real action. They want real solutions, and the Democrat Party is not providing them at all.
Yeah, exactly. And again, whatever that secret sauce with President Trump is, the South Bronx, this is a different sort of Republican persona. The upside, he's breaking through, particularly with African-American males, what you and others have been talking about for years, Democrat Party taking people for granted. We're seeing some breaking, and that's all that you need is a little bit of that. And Martina, the thing I like about the school choice thing, in addition to the kids, it empowers parental rights. These parents know better for their kid. I don't care if they're uneducated or whatever. They know their kid. They want the best for their kid more than any organization could be. It's the parent that wants that.
100%, Dom. School choice is what provides parents the ultimate opportunity for their child to go to the school of their choice that they know will benefit their child the best and give them the, you know, the best chance for reaching their full potential in life. And so that's why I'm a huge proponent of it. And I think that the Democrats' policy of leaving kids trapped in failing schools hasn't worked. It's still not working. And we need real change here in Pennsylvania. And I know we can do it, especially because there's a lot of Democrats, like you shared, other state electeds. Senator Anthony Williams for years has been a supporter of school choice, highly passionate. Amen Brown, and obviously the governor here. So for the president to come in here and kind of talk poorly about that, that would be a very grave, I think, thing for him to do.
Bingo, too. I was wondering why Josh Shapiro, look, he may have something important today. He's not going to be there. I think the lieutenant governor, and again, to be with the president in Philadelphia in a situation like this, I think he would be there, but what Biden's going to say and what Biden's about is a little much different than, at least on paper, what Josh Shapiro says.
Yeah, Dom, that's true. I mean, why would a governor who has positive name ID across the state want to affiliate himself with a president who has declining numbers? That doesn't make any political sense, in my personal opinion. But I think there's a lot of factors at play, and one of which is that the president hasn't addressed the issues of Philadelphia communities, including the African-American community, Hispanic community. Here in Northeast Philadelphia, there's a lot of Caucasian families. I mean, we're all suffering from what inevitably has been Biden's policies, and we've had a 30% increase in food prices. When you go to the gas pump to fuel up, everything's expensive. Energy costs are up. I mean, it's just like we're getting body slammed, and everyday people that are middle class families are trying to get by. And the people who are already in poverty, I mean, imagine what those families are going through
exactly.
In the city.
Now, on the other hand, and I saw a study the other day about many of these encampments and stuff going on. And this was from a liberal publication that said a great deal of them are people on these college campuses that are more elite. But what are you trying to do to bring some accountability to the stuff that's been going on?
Yeah, so, you know, we know that the Democrat radicals of the left are putting criminals first and victims last. They've done this. We've seen this over the past several years, and they're doing it again, right? There's these anti-Israel protesters on college campuses. And what the legislators, myself and Kristen Marcel out of Bucks County area, have put forward are two pieces of legislation. What we saw on these campuses were just maddening. They went and are basically verbally attacking Jewish students. And I think that there's even been concerns around them attacking law enforcement officers when they were trying to be disbanded. So, you know, what we're trying to do is make sure that any students who are convicted of ethnic intimidation, institutional vandalism, desecration, theft, sale of venerated objects, or institutional trespassing from being able to receive FEA grants. So that's what my bill would do. And then Kristen Marcel's bill, it basically is a complementary piece to mine. It creates a new crime of actual institutional trespass, specifically targeting unlawful entry into sensitive areas like houses of worship, cemeteries, and schools. And I know vandalism's already penalized, but this definitely is a bill that'll be helpful because merely trespassing in these sacred institutions isn't something that should go unnoticed, and it needs to have additional protections in place.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully there are a few Democrats in the Senate. I think something like that would pass. How about in the House?
Yeah, you know, apparently a lot of reporters have been asking their leadership team, I think Matt Bradford was one of them, if they would consider these pieces of legislation. It sounded like once the language has been introduced that he may be willing to consider it. But I actually don't know how many of their legislative legislators on their side of the aisle would actually support it. I mean, we saw Rep. Krajewski actually, according to, I guess it was the Washington Examiner, he was one of the people who warned the protesters that the police would be coming onto the campus within the next 24 hours. And there's supposedly text messages to that effect. So I imagine that there will be, you know, the radical left Democrats out in Harrisburg who will, you know, just probably vote against these types of bills.
Well, at least we have you on the front lines. And Martina, I think it sounds to me, though, like Lifeline Scholarships is going to make it through this time. And I think you deserve a lot of credit on that. It would be revolutionary. It would be arguably the greatest good that legislators can do toward families and their kids.
Thank you so much, Dom. Yeah, we are so excited this year. We had a lot of progress last year, but I think this could be our time, and we just have to keep advocating and keep pushing and encourage constituents out there, citizens, you know, give your legislators a call and encourage them to be supportive, because now is the time. June is when all of the negotiations take place before the budget's due on June 30th. And I just want to encourage you guys. We could really use all of the support to call up your legislator.
Thank you, Martina. We'll keep on this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
All right, Dan, coming up, one of my greatest sources, a cop source, but it's way beyond just cop issues. Wait until you hear who just sent out a directive to have people oppose Lifeline Scholarships, vouchers in any form. Yep, it's an old suspect. It's got some letters. It begins with an A. There's a C in there. It ends in an O. That's all I'm going to say here. Wheel of Fortune, you spin it home.
It's really tough. I'm trying to figure it out.
I'll tell you who it is. Think the Union Way. That's straight ahead.
In the butt?
Yeah. Phone lines.
That was earlier this week.
855. That's right. The bite in the butt. Pat Sajak's having a rough. I think he's only got a couple weeks left of this. 855-839-1210. You get in. Dom time. So President Biden's late. What else is usual? A fair-sized crowd apparently over at Girard College, and a birdie flew into my window and sent me this. And again, as I understand the AFL-CIO, there are a lot of union people that want their kids to get a good education. Maybe the Catholic schools. They just sent out a directive attacking vouchers. The AFL-CIO, the unions again. You're the most powerful person to convince your representatives to oppose school vouchers. Vouchers would just make the severe underfunding of Pennsylvania public schools even worse. So your kid has to be held hostage because you're a parent that wants better for them to send them somewhere else. You had to be kept with those who apparently don't know what they're doing or don't care, and they're willing to let their kids rot in these public schools. So you're not going to be allowed to go. And if you're a union member, how many times are these unions? I'm sick and tired of people telling me, well, we don't think that way. It's the leadership. Yeah, you know, it's somebody's voting for them. Who's voting for these people? You have the guy of the UAW, who a big quack of his union now are these various college administrators and the like. And they've gone completely radical. Well, as long as we get where we are, we don't care about the country. How is it that unions are telling people, the AFL-CIO, the biggie, the biggest, right? You got to be out there screaming against vouchers. You got to be against poor kids, black kids, Latino kids, Catholic schools. You got to be against all that because the public schools will fail if this goes through. You mean to say the public schools in the big cities have already not been incredibly miserable failures? Some of it is due to the politics of the big cities, the restraints, the progressives, the stuff they put into it. It will fail. It will fail again, and it will continue to fail. How many times have we seen it play out that way? So if you support public schools, you think this is great for democracy and all that nonsense, go right ahead. Why hold these other people captive? Particularly when you have a flourishing Catholic school system and a lot of private schools of all kinds of sorts that people need just a little bit of help to get to go there. So, Dan, you invite David Hardy on tomorrow. I mean, I think what he'll say, he's the head now of Girard College. Well, we invited, you got to let the president come here and talk. I hear you. Puts him on the map again. But what is he going to say about this? He is the enemy, in my view, and so is Harris, and so is every big-time Democrat of poor kids.
Maybe I have a preview?
Yes.
Here you go. This is from 4 years ago, Dom.
We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids.
Stupid.
I really mean it, but I gotta say it.
It goes to that stupid idiot, the usual idiocy. So, but the bottom line is this, they are the enemy. Now, you heard Martina White, I think, for his own benefit. Josh Shapiro this time is going to try to push this through. And we're right on the cusp. June is when all this stuff happens. What would happen is this would strike a blow against the teachers unions, the AFL-CIOs of the world, the National Democrat Party, the Randy Weingartens, who want us to believe if you let parents make a choice. You know, and I'm so tired. It's worn out over the years of your silly arguments against this. Line them all up. Bring, I don't know how many we fit in the studio, and they can all yell at once. And I'll wear a blindfold or something. You know, my hands behind my back, as we'll parry these with one simple thing. Parents know what's best for their kids. You know it, and I know it. These schools are never going to work, given the underpinnings of it. They just won't. It's a monopoly. You have too many discipline problems that nobody's allowed to do anything. I tell you, from someone who was on the front lines, you're worn out by the discipline problems. You know how few gifted and talented programs are in schools? You know why they're not there? Do you know about the parents over in Masterman, which was rated number one some years, complaining? Because now you're having people get into Masterman that need have special ed, learning disability, not just learning disabilities, but inability, their poor test scores and everything else. They have to be put into repetitive classes. Why are they at Masterman? Well, that's equity. That's progressives. That's what they accomplish. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get on board.
All right, it's been 25 minutes. No Joe Biden.
All right. I'm sure he's warming up a great speech.
Why not just announce that you're coming out at 2?
Yeah, he's conferring with Dr. Jill Biden. By the way, National Institutes of Health accused of conspiracy to hide all those COVID emails. That's heating up, and we'll have to get Rand Paul on the show to break that down.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.